The Dead and the Countess by Gertrude Atherton. It was an old cemetery, and they had been long dead. Those who died nowadays were put in the new burying place on the hill, close to the Bois d'Amour, and within the sound of the bells that called the living to Mass. But the little church, where the Mass was celebrated, stood faithfully beside the older dead. A new church, indeed, had not been built in that forgotten corner of Finisterre for centuries. Not since the Calvary on its pile of stones had been raised in the tiny square, surrounded then, as now, perhaps, by grey naked cottages. Not since the castle with its round tower down on the river had been erected for the Counts of Croisac. But the stone walls enclosing that ancient cemetery had been kept in good repair, and there were no weeds within nor toppling headstones. It looked cold and grey and desolate, like all the cemeteries of Brittany, but it was made hideous neither by tawdry gewgaws nor the license of time, and sometimes it was close to a picture of beauty. When the village celebrated its yearly pardon, a great procession came out of the church. Priests in glittering robes, young men in their gala costume of black and silver, holding flashing standards aloft, and many maidens in flapping white headdress and collar, black frocks and aprons, flaunting with ribbons and lace. They marched, chanting, down the road beside the wall of the cemetery, where lay the generations that in their day had held the banners and chanted the service of the pardon. For the dead were peasants and priests. The Croisacs had their burying place in a hollow of the hills behind the castle. Old men and women who had wept and died, for the fishermen that had gone to the Grand Pêche and returned no more. And now and again a child slept there. Those who walked past the dead at the pardon or after the marriage ceremony, or took part in any one of the minor religious festivals with which the Catholic village enlivens its existence, all, young and old, looked grave and sad. For the women from childhood knew that their lot is to wait and dread and weep, and the men that the ocean is treacherous and cruel, but that bread can be wrung from no other master. Therefore, the living have little sympathy for the dead who have laid down their crushing burden, and the dead under their stones slumber contentedly enough. There is no envy among them for the young who wander at evening and pledge their troth in the Bois d'Amour, only pity for the groups of women who wash their linen in the creek that flows to the river. They look like pictures in the green quiet book of nature, these women, in their glistening white headgear and deep collars. But the dead know better than to envy them.